My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here today. The next couple of shows are going to be different shows than we have done on this show in years past. I'll explain to that coming up in a bit. I want to give you guys a chance to win a pizza, and I'll set up the rest of the day.
I'm on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Call number 6, 913-586-7610. Call number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they have taken over the town. I might be getting some Pizza Tasio tonight before seeing Twisters the movie up in the Northland, but they got spots all over the city. Not only the Northland, but Lee Summit, Midtown, St. Joe, and OP. They have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wines. So, Carrington, whether you're in the mood for, I don't know, a whole pie or maybe a slice or two will fill you up, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza in the city, you also want to get ready for the college football season, the best place to do that is right here on 610 Sports Radio. So, what we are going to do for the All-Star break, we will obviously recap everything that happened last night in the Home Run Derby. We'll bounce around from topics, but today's show, for the most part, is going to be centered around the Missouri Tigers. Coming up in 15 minutes, we will play my conversation with Luther Burden. Coming up at 2:30, ESPN's Tom Hart is going to call into the show. He is an alum. Christian Williams, a defensive lineman, is going to be on the show in the 3 o'clock hour. Gabe DeArmond in the 4 o'clock hour. Eli Drinkwitz, Brady Cook, Aaron Ladd is going to be in studio. He also graduated from the University of Missouri. This is the only Kansas thing we will talk about all day. Our Kansas schedule is coming together for tomorrow. So if you were thinking, hey, you guys are showing the Tigers this love, what about us? I'm a Jayhawk fan. Tomorrow, Brandon McAnderson will be on the show. Devin Neal will be on the show. Lance Leipold will be on the show. Jalen Daniels and Brian Haney will be in studio. We're still working on the athletic director at Kansas. Rob tells me he's optimistic that he will be on the show. We'll have a couple of other guests as well, but those are the players or people that are locked in for tomorrow's show. Where I would like to start with Missouri is, I think, very simple. Missouri is in the position that you want to be in if you are not one of those blue blood programs. Missouri this season, is in a perfect intersection between talent, enthusiasm, schedule, and the way that the regular season has changed. The excitement for this season would be very different if you are a Tigers fan, if this was the BCS era, or if there were only four playoff teams. But with the expansion of the postseason, it has allowed fan bases like Missouri, like K-State, like Kansas, like Penn State, so many schools around the country, it allows you to dream a little bit. And now the hope and expectation and what you are shooting for is, can we make the college football playoff? You used to have to win your conference or be the next best team that didn't win the Big Ten or the SEC or the Big 12. That's not the case anymore. If we were talking about Missouri has to win the SEC to be in this conversation, I think it puts a little bit of water on the excitement. You don't have to do that. If we had a 12-team playoff last year, Missouri would have been included in the 12-team playoff. And when you look at who they've returned, and we'll get to that more here coming up in a bit, but if you take a look at the way this season is, hey, just do what you did last year. Win 10 games, and if you do that, if you are Missouri and you're the third or fourth best team in the SEC, that should be enough and probably will be enough for you to be included in the college football playoff. Maybe you host a home game, and who knows what can happen once you get there. That's part of why the excitement is where it is for the Missouri Tigers heading into the season. The second part is the schedule. It is impossible to deny that if you are a Missouri Tigers fan. The schedule is what gets you excited. Rob, they play three non-conference games this year. They play four non-conference games. Their non-conference games are home against Murray State, home against Buffalo, home against Boston College, on the road against UMass. Think about that. Texas goes on the road to play Michigan. LSU plays USC and Las Vegas in non-con. Missouri plays Murray State, Buffalo, Boston College, and UMass. That should be win, 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 win. And then if you look at their SEC schedule, I mean, you couldn't randomize it any better than what Missouri has in the SEC. They don't play Georgia this year. They don't play LSU this year. They don't play Ole Miss this year. If you are looking at the top teams in the SEC, for the most part, you either avoided them altogether or a team like Oklahoma, you play at home this season. There's only one game on Missouri's schedule that I feel pretty confident saying, oh, they're losing that game. They play on the road against Alabama on October 26th. They are more than likely losing on the road to Alabama. I know they got a new head coach and some turnover and some change and some kids transferred. Until proven otherwise, that's Alabama, and we should talk about them and speak about them as such. But if you look at their conference schedule, Vanderbilt on the road against Texas A&M, which could be a kind of sneaky team, home against Auburn, on the road against Alabama, home against Oklahoma, on the road against South Carolina, Mississippi State, home against Arkansas to end the season. Okay, you lose on the road against Alabama. That's one. You then, more than likely, in a 12-team scenario, you get one other loss. You can pick them as long as it's not Vanderbilt or UMass or one of those kind of teams. You can lose two games in the SEC now, and that should be good enough for you to be the ninth best team in the country, the 10th best team in the country, and that's where some of the excitement comes from. So some of the excitement comes from the expansion of the college football playoff. The second part of the excitement comes from the way that the schedule is put together, and if you just randomize eight games in the SEC, you do not get better than what Missouri has. It's also the talent. Missouri should be really good this year, especially offensively. That's a team and an offense that should be able to score a lot of points. There are not many teams in the country, let alone the SEC, there are not many teams in the country that have a better wide receiver room than what Missouri has. They might have the best receiver in college football in Luther Burden, a guy who on any NFL draft board is picked to be in the top 10 next year. You have him, you have Theo Weiss, you got Cooper, you got Johnson. We're talking about a team here who has weapons across the board here. You return your starting quarterback. You return your head coach. You return your offensive coordinator. So there are still some questions about Missouri. They lost a lot of pieces on defense last year. A somewhat new offensive line. You lose Cody Schrader, who was one of the best running backs in college football last year. How do you replace him? So I don't want to make it seem like there are no questions about Missouri heading into this season, Rob, because there obviously are questions. And we're going to catch up with Luther Burden here in a little bit on Mizzou Day. But when you think of those three things and how they have intersected for this season, if you were talking about the expansion of the college football playoff, the schedule that Missouri has this season, and the amount of returning talent that they have, with your quarterback coming back, you have the best receiver in college football, you have one of the three best wide receiver rooms in college football. The only teams I will listen that have a better wide receiver room than Missouri are Ohio State and Oregon. So you've given your quarterbacks all the weapons in the world. You were dynamite in the transfer portal. You have Oklahoma's left tackle from next year. You plugged up serious holes that you potentially could have had on your defense. There's a reason why this is the most anticipated Tiger season since 2008. In 2007, you guys know, they beat Kansas in Arrowhead. They got robbed out of the BCS. This is the most anticipated season that they've had since then. We are talking about a team that when the AP college poll comes out, they should be ranked in the top 15. This is a team that the expectation for Missouri should be to win double-digit games and go to the college football playoff this season.
Sometimes, and we talk about this in college sports all the time, sometimes more than anything else, who you play matters. Georgia last year, we and you both felt like we watched Georgia. Georgia was not one of the best teams in the country. They didn't make the college football playoff, but Georgia finished 11-1. You know why Georgia finished 11-1? It was easy street on their schedule. That is one of the major reasons, and I don't want this to come off like hateration, that is one of the major reasons why Missouri, along with the other two locals too, which we'll do tomorrow and Thursday, fans have so much excitement. The non-con, as you pointed out, is weak. And their conference schedule, you couldn't have a Missouri alum pick it better. There's two tough games. There's two moments in time where you go, uh-oh, and they're road at A&M, who's in year one of a rebuild, a new coach, and it's road at Bama. Now, Bama has all the cachet, but they're also first year of a rebuild, a new coach. Oklahoma hasn't been Oklahoma in a while, but they're in Columbia. This was the most fortuitous schedule any Tiger fan could have hoped for. And even if I, with the most hate in my heart, look at that Missouri schedule and look at that talent and look at everything, it's hard to picture them being worse than 9-3. I always look at college football and really pro football schedules, and I try to build a window. What's the basement? What's the ceiling? The basement, the thing where I think to myself, man, it bottoms out for Missouri, is a 9-3 season, and they're in a really good bowl game. It just, you can't picture them losing to UMass. You can't picture them losing to Boston College. Arkansas, they should be walking over the Razorbacks. There's basically four games where you think to yourself, oh, that's a toss-up. And four is being polite to the schedule. I understand when I look at that schedule why Mizzou fans are fired up, and they should be. The basement's 9-3 in my mind. The ceiling is the SEC championship game.
If you're a program like Ohio State or Georgia or how Clemson was in the 2010s, your expectation is to make the college football playoff every year and every year be competing for national championships. If you are a program like Missouri, your expectation is the kind of season that you think is possible. Hey, everything has aligned itself for us to have a chance. Kind of like in basketball. Hey, you're probably not going to be a team that can win the Big 12 every year. But can we get the right talent? Can we get the right couple of players? And hey, we can make a serious run to a Final Four. And we've seen teams do that in college basketball. I now think with the expansion of the college football playoff that you're adding 12 teams, you have now made it realistic for 30 to 35 teams to feel like they have a chance to make the postseason. Now we'll see what happens. It's college football. You go on the road, you lose to Texas A&M. Something happens, an injury happens. A team ends up being much better than we think, much worse. I mean, you got to play this season out. But to Rob's point, 9 wins to me is the floor for the Missouri Tigers, and I would say 11 is the ceiling. If you win 11, you are for sure in the college football playoff. If you win 10, you are probably, more than likely, in the college football playoff. If you win 9 or less, in my opinion, this season is a disappointment, and you do not have a better chance to make the college football playoff and have so many things align the way that they are better than they do this upcoming season for the Missouri Tigers. And we'll see if they can take full advantage. Today, we are celebrating Mizzou on the show today. KU Day is tomorrow. K-State is on Thursday. Coming up on the other side, we are happy to be joined by one of the best players in college football. Luther Burden will be on the show. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the show. It is Mizzou Day on the show. Tomorrow is KU Day. Thursday is K-State Day. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll be joined by Tom Hart. He's with ESPN. He is a Mizzou alum. He covers college football. We'll get his thoughts on the Tiger season in about 10 minutes or so. But earlier in the week, I got a chance to catch up with, in my opinion, he is the best wide receiver in college football. If you check any mock draft, they have him as a top 10 pick in next year's NFL draft. We welcome Luther Burden onto the show, and our conversation starts with, hey, what is it like to see yourself in the new college football video game?
It's a true blessing. I'm happy for the opportunity, you know, to for people, you know, for people to display my talents, you know, on the video game, you know, for people to have fun. And I'm just truly blessed to be in this situation right now.
Luther, I have been wanting to ask you this question. I read this a while ago, but I wanted to hear the story from you. Who was the first person to call you Touchdown Luther?
First person to call me Touchdown Luther was this coach that I used to play against. He actually, like, recruited me to come play with him. and stuff, but I didn't. But like every time, I mean, he called me the name, and so I just stuck with it ever since.
Right now, we're talking to Luther Burden, one of the best players in college football. We'll have some fun questions for him here in just a bit. Luther, how excited are you for this season? And then just looking around and seeing a lot of the excitement that fans have around the program, what is it like to be in the middle of all of that?
It's very special to be in the middle of this. Being able to come back and being able to give, you know, the fans, you know, another year of great football so they can watch, you know, come out here to support us. And so I can't wait to get back out there.
What's the balance when obviously, you know, staying locked in and dialed into this season? But, I mean, you're on the social media, you're on the internet, you hear what people are projecting you to be at the next level. Is it difficult to kind of lock in and focus on everything right in front of you?
No, not for me. I feel like, you know, football is the goal. Football is my, you know, my life. So, you know, football comes first before anything. So, you know, just keep the main thing, you know, just finding ways to balance, you know, everything else outside of football, you know, it just comes easy to me.
Obviously, Luther, it's not just you in that wide receiver room. You guys have one of the top three wide receiver rooms in college football. What is that competition like every day where you got so many other great players around you?
It's great competition, you know, because you get to, you know, learn different ways, you know, to, you know, do different things. You know, in this case, like, I want to run my route a certain way, but I don't know how. You know, I can ask my teammate, you know, because, you know, everybody in the room got experience. And, it's just great to be around a group of guys who, you know, love to work, you know, and, you know, just going to push me every day to get better, push myself every day to get better.
What is it like now, you know, just a couple of years ago, you were the freshman learning the ropes, new to the SEC. Now you're the veteran. You're going to be the preseason All-American, and now you got to be the one showing the young guys the ropes.
I'm truly blessed, you know, being in this situation once again. I'm not going to take it for granted. You know, I'm going to get everything I got. You know, I'm going to try, you know, make sure, you know, the young guys are, you know, well-prepared for when I leave, you know, so they, you know, know how to operate around her, and, you know, they know the standards.
I got some fun questions for you, and we'll get you out of here. Let's say you are getting a pizza. You can only choose two toppings for this pizza. What are you ordering?
Bacon, pepperoni, Emo's.
Emo's pizza. See, I'm not a huge Emo's thing, but this is the thing. You know, I'm from Kansas City. You're from St. Louis. I'm not a huge Emo's guy.
Yeah, Emo's. You got to get with the Emo's, man. They go crazy. Best pizza ever.
What is it like to have your own chip? You know, I don't have my own chip. I don't know anybody else. I've never talked to anybody that has their own flavor of chips. What was it like to go to the grocery store and see your face on a bag of chips?
I'll say it took a while for me to, like, truly realize, like, dang, I'm like my face, like in multiple stores, and like people are like really buying my chips. Like, I don't know. It's a very special feeling. It's very very blessed to have the opportunity, and you know, it's real fun. The chips are actually good, so go get them.
So if you were going to the gas station and let's say like 12-year-old Luther Burden sees those chips and like you're this kid's favorite football player, so you grab these chips, but you also got to get a drink with it. What drink are you getting to go with your chips?
I'll say probably a cold body armor. For sure. Strawberry banana.
Right now, we're talking to Luther Burden here for a couple more minutes. Luther, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but there is a popular TikToker. He is just going around trying different St. Louis restaurants right now. Some people are happy with his reviews. Some people are unhappy where you're from with his reviews. If you had to suggest a St. Louis restaurant for somebody from out of town to try, what would you tell them to go to?
I'll say Bricks in Chesterfield. That's not bad. I just had that this weekend. It's called Bricks. Yeah, it's Bricks in Chesterfield. It's not a bad place.
What are you ordering? What's your order at this place?
I had got some fried shrimp. They had like some sauce on it. I don't know what kind of sauce it was, but it was crazy. And I had like some they had some good hot wings there, and I had some fries. Nothing to imagine.
Whenever you are getting ready for the game, what are you listening to? Who are you listening to?
I'm listening to NBA YoungBoy. That's my favorite rapper. So I'm usually listening to him getting locked in.
A couple more questions here, Luther. All right, so keeping it with food, I want to hear one candy that you love. So give me one candy that you love. Give me one candy that you hate.
I love all candies, really. I just love candy. Like, candy, it was my go-to before I got my teeth done, but I'd say, like, lysine gummy.
But, Luther, there has to be one candy that you don't like. Is it, like, mint? There has to be a candy that you're like, I'm okay.
M&M's with the peanuts. I say those. I don't like the peanut M&M's.
That's one of the better kinds of candy.
I rather the straight chocolate.
Last thing here, Luther, and I'll get you out of here. Who is somebody, I guess, other than NBA Youngboy, like, since he's locked up right now, who is somebody that you want to meet? Like, let's say that you could just invite one person to a Mizzou game. You know, this person is on the sideline. You know, you have a crazy day, 7 catches, 150. Who do you want to be there at the game?
Say, like, Drewski. You know Drewski?
I do know who he is.
Yeah, I'll say Drewski.
And that is Luther Burden joining us on the show today. He is one of the best players in college football. He is rated a 94 overall on NCAA, and he says that's not high enough. Luther, man, I was happy to have you on the show today, man. Good luck this season, man.
Appreciate you.
That was Luther Burden joining us on the show. Luther Burden will be a preseason All-American. He will likely be one of the top 10 players selected in next year's NFL draft. Rob, two very quick Luther Burden wide receiver thoughts, and Tom Hart is going to join us here coming up in a bit. The first thought is, you remember how things ended for Dorial Green-Beckham and his Missouri career. Now, he had a phenomenal sophomore season. Had 59 catches, had 900 yards, and 12 touchdowns in the SEC. And I thought that Dorial Green-Beckham was about to turn into Julio Jones. He never played another game at the University of Missouri. I feel like we have now been given a second chance to see what could have been with Luther Burden. He was phenomenal last season at Missouri. Like, phenomenal last season. I think he is the best wide receiver in college football. And there are obviously a lot of good receivers. This is the era of the wide receiver. Like, if you remember how good Dorial Beckham was, I just gave you the stats. Luther Burden last year as a sophomore in the SEC had 86 catches for 1,200 yards and 9 touchdowns last season. He was fantastic last year. I also never thought I would say this. I remember the first time I saw Jeremy Maclin play in person. And I just saw a player that just glided. I went to Missouri, played on the road against K-State. Missouri fans, you know the game I'm talking about. It was the game right before Kansas back in 2007. You knew Missouri had to win this game, and they were going to set themselves up for the big showdown. Jeremy Maclin was unstoppable that day. He had 9 catches for 143 yards and 2 long touchdowns in the game, and he had 194 yards in kick returns and scored a touchdown. He was fantastic that day. I never thought I would say that I'd see a better Missouri player than he is, and they currently have one on their team in Luther Burden. Luther Burden is better than Jeremy Maclin was. And if you are a Missouri fan, you know how crazy of a statement that is because of how good Jeremy Maclin was at Mizzou. Luther Burden is better than he was. And Maclin was phenomenal. He was really, really good. Luther's different, man. Just absolutely different. He is the best wide receiver in college football heading into this season. We are celebrating Missouri today. Tomorrow is KU Day. Thursday is K-State Day. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Tom Hart of ESPN. He is a Missouri alum. He calls college football games, and we'll get you ready for the college football season. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the only place in Kansas City that gives you a random Royals lineup.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck. Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to Chiefs camp as quarterbacks and rookies head to St. Joe today. That means Patrick Mahomes is back at work. Today is Missouri Day, though. Tomorrow is KU Day. Thursday is K-State Day. We just heard from Luther Burden, the best wide receiver in college football. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Tom Hart. He is with ESPN, SEC Network. He is a Mizzou alum. He calls college football games. Tom, how you doing, my man?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me on, man.
I'm doing great, Tom. You are a Missouri alum. obviously you were one of their crowning jewels of that journalism school. Let me ask you this. Let's start with this. Whenever people say that they are going to Columbia the first time, where do you tell them to eat?
Easy. I send them to Booch's first. I warn them, cash only, be prepared to chill. And then I say, you know, if you're going to dinner, then you want to go to Murray's. So Booch's/Murray's, that's where I send them. I think that gives you a good taste of the town.
See, that's really important to tell people that it's cash only, because you go in there and then you're not prepared for it. You have to give that caveat if that's where you're going to send people.
New generation especially, they don't seem to get embarrassed about anything, but when you tell them that they can't pay with a credit card, whoa, that puts people in some kind of mood, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. That's because we don't walk around with cash in our pocket the way you old guys did.
I know. But you don't have to walk around with cash in pocket. You just have to walk around with somebody who has cash in their pocket. It's like if you and your buddy are getting chased by a bear, you don't have to be faster than the bear. Be faster than your buddy and you're fine.
That's great advice. Right now we're talking to Tom Hart of ESPN, also the SEC Network. Tom, you've been around this program for a long time. Can you think of a year that has had the buzz and anticipation quite like this one does? I think you can maybe argue 08, but I actually think this one is a little bit greater than what that year was.
I agree with you, and I agree because of I think the importance that college football has now, both nationally as the second most popular sport in our country, and regionally/locally. You know, I mean, while Missouri made it to number one in 07, and they were bringing a ton of talent back in 08, and there was a lot of excitement, and college football, even that. Just that bit ago, was still very much a regionalized sport. Now with all the changes in a 12-team playoff and what that could mean, I think this is – it feels to me, Carrington, like some of the great Missouri basketball seasons that we looked forward to when you knew that you had All-American players coming back or you're coming off of a big run and you start to daydream a little bit about what's possible and then you start going through the schedule and you go, hey, look, there's North Georgia on here. There's a chance to – rack up a ton of wins before you get into tough games and what that would mean. So I agree with you 100%. I think it's the most anticipated in recent memory, and in that case, probably ever. Like, I don't think there are a whole lot of people in the fall of 1960 going, hey, listen, we got a great team. If we can put a run together, you know, we could win the Orange Bowl and be national champs. People just didn't think and talk that way about it back then.
I look at it as it's three different components that I think lead to the excitement or hype or whatever term you want to use. Number one, it's the expansion of the playoff. I mean, before now, you had to win the SEC to think that you were going to compete for a national championship. Now that we've opened it up, there's probably 30 teams that think they have a chance to make the postseason. It's also the schedule. Like, if you just did a SEC schedule randomizer, I don't know if you come up with a better one than what Missouri has. And obviously, it's talent. You have a returning player in Brady Cook who turned the corner last year. You have arguably the best receiver in college football. You have one of the best wide receiver rooms. This is a team that you look at their floor as being 9 wins.
I agree 100%. I want to rewind a moment to what you said about the 12-team playoff and why that's so important. You can have great teams that run into roadblocks in this league year after year after year. For as great as the SEC has been at the top, how many SEC programs reached the college football playoff in its history, let alone winning a national championship, right? LSU, Alabama, Georgia. Am I missing one? That's it. Those are the only ones that made the previous 14 playoff. So all of these other great teams that had great momentum, think of Tennessee a couple of years ago before Hendon Hooker got hurt even, they always ran into a roadblock that was named Bama under Saban or Georgia with Kirby or LSU's great teams. Now those roadblocks don't matter. You could still lose that game and still find a spot in the 12-team playoff. So I think that's really important. And you know, Drink is up there today talking about, and I love the man and I love what he's brought to the program, but he's talking about last year doesn't matter. You know, what happened last year doesn't impact this year. I disagree with that because of the personnel that you just mentioned. They're not just great. They haven't just put up great numbers, but they know how to win close games. And I think that's really important in knowing how to win. And I think that, to me, the Kentucky game really jumps out at me. You're down 2 touchdowns. It's cold. It's rainy. You know, you're almost beat in the first quarter already. and thinking of, and Drink admitted this after the game, he's like, yeah, we were done. We're down 14-0, had no momentum. We were basically done. And then you pull off a fake punt, boom, you grab a little bit of momentum, you score 20 in a row, and you still fell behind again late in the second half and had to come back to win that game a second time. And I think that is invaluable experience that a lot of these guys, even though there's new players on the roster, these key players have, and they've been through the ups and downs of the season and challenges. So while the numbers are impressive, and that's the reason the floor is so high and the D-line is supposedly going to be amazing and the offensive line is improved and we know about the offensive weapons, obviously, to me it's about what last year helped this program achieve and individually what these guys now know about winning tight games.
Tom, I never thought that I would see a Missouri wide receiver that was better than Jeremy Maclin, but I think they have one in Luther Burden. I mean, I saw Maclin. I was telling the story right before you hopped on the air. It was his one game on the road at K-State, and Maclin just was unstoppable that day. I mean, just watching Luther Burden last year, I mean, I don't know if you can maybe set the expectations too high for what he can do this season. He looks like a guy that could have 100 catches and have 1,500 yards receiving this year.
Well, let me share a quick story with you. So, offseason 2 years ago, I was headed to Columbia to call the Kansas basketball game, and Missouri was going through bowl practice, and I swung over and I was watching practice, and Dominic Lovett had already left the team to transfer to Georgia, and it was me and Drink standing on the sideline and called Burden over, and we just, the three of us just talked a little bit, and he, in front of me, he turns to Luther and he goes, you know, we're getting you the ball, right? I'm not talking about the bowl game. He goes, next year, we're getting you the ball in every way possible for you to show this guy and everybody else what you can do. And he was just, you know, nodding his head, yes, sir, yes, sir. And I thought part of that was recruit speak and coach speak. And then I saw how they used him early in the season. And I actually thought they were trying too hard to get him the ball in all of these different ways because there's so many different people on the field. It can be challenging if you're not versatile enough in that position. It can be challenging to force the ball into your hands at a wide receiver position. But he has proved to be versatile like Maclin, who was a killer in the return game as well, to get the ball in his hands in different ways where if you're facing an incredible secondary or great safeties, that you can find a way to use them on the jet sweeps. You can move them into the backfield. You can put them around in different spots. And I think that versatility will be key because – I think the rest of the receiver corps is really good, don't get me wrong, and probably one of the best in the country. But they got to get him the ball in situations where he can impact the game, and they know how to do that. And Brady Cook knows how to do that.
Right now we're talking to Tom Hart of ESPN and SEC Network for a couple of more minutes here on Mizzou Day. Tom, I look at it as I think you have to look at the Alabama game as a loss. I understand they lost their coach, but picking a team to go on the road and win in Alabama, just I can't get myself to take that next step. What's the next game after the game on the road against Alabama that you look at as maybe the most dangerous game on Missouri's schedule?
Well, there's a little personal bias in my first answer, and that's because I went to Bryan College Station when Missouri went down there and got smoked like 70-0. I took a Yellow Dog school bus with a bunch of buddies. And the good news is we didn't have to pay for a single beer all weekend, but that's a tough place to play and it's a tough place to win. And they've got an elite quarterback as well. I think that game's winnable, but I'm always worried about going on the road. And then secondarily, we know the history with Oklahoma and Oklahoma has been a dream crusher with previous Missouri teams, right? I'm in a Big 12 championship game away in Arrowhead from playing for a national championship, and Oklahoma wins that game after Missouri beat them at home with the largest game day crowd in the history of that program. So I would put those two up there, and I certainly understand your concern with going on the road to Tuscaloosa. I think Alabama, even though they've done a great job keeping the recruiting up, and Jalen Milroe is as dangerous a quarterback in the game, I just think that program's going to have a different feeling around it. You know, kind of like for the old guys can relate to this. Like, once Mike Tyson lost his mouthpiece on the floor, things changed. You know, once Tiger Woods took that 9-iron to the back of his Lincoln Navigator, whatever it was, things change. People, once they've shown that they're beatable and they lose that aura, I think it really impacts the ability to close out close games or to blow out close games in the second half. So I think that is, as obviously without Saban, that's as winnable a game as it's ever been.
That is Tom Hart joining us on the show today as we celebrate Mizzou. Tomorrow is KU Day and Thursday is K-State Day. Tom, man, appreciate your time. Thanks for hopping on today.
Carrington, is it true KU's playing in a soccer stadium this coming season?
That is, well, not the whole time. Now, I hate that you try to put me in a position that I got to defend KU today. Yes, they are playing in a soccer stadium for games one and game two. They are.
Okay. I wasn't sure about that. I haven't read through all my preseason magazines. I'll let my Kansas friends know about that.
I appreciate you, Tom. Thanks for hopping on today.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That's Tom Hart joining us on the show today. He trying to put me in a position, Rob, where today I got to defend the Jayhawks. I don't want to do that. They are playing in a soccer stadium for a couple of games. Then they go to Arrowhead. Those first two games. Because you and I both know, Rob, I know you're excited about the KU college football season. If they were playing Lindenwood at Arrowhead, they'd have 30,000 people there. It would not look good. It would not be good for them. They made the right decision putting that one in Sporting Park. We'll actually talk to the athletic director of KU about that tomorrow. We plan on him joining the show. Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, I know you're talking about Missouri today. What do you think about the national anthem for yesterday? All right, I want to choose my words very carefully here because I understand the society that we're in, and we'll get back to Missouri coming up at the top of the hour. I did not know who this person was before yesterday. Maybe I should have. Maybe she is a very popular singer. I saw that. Is she a four-time winner or a four-time nominee? I don't. It's something.
Nominee.
Okay. Maybe you guys knew who this person was. I have never seen that person in my life. I never heard of that person in my life. They had a pretty big spot. Hey, you're being introduced to new fans, new audience, all of that kind of stuff. So I understand the nerves of going up there and you got to sing, and I get all of that. So I cannot judge this person one way or the other. But I will say this, and again, these are just my thoughts. Maybe you think something very, very different. If I sung as poorly as she did yesterday and I'm trying to get myself out of the fire, boy, did she pick a really good excuse or reason of why it went so poorly and the perfect PR strategy to get herself out of it. We're all grown, right? We know that there are certain buttons that you can press that can get yourself out of a certain situation. If you want to get out of work, you can get out of work. You maybe can't do this repeatedly, but if you want to get out of work today, man, I got food poisoning. That can get you out of work one time. You know, man, I got food poisoning. Man, I just don't feel good. Man, I got a migraine. You can use certain buzzwords or phrases to get yourself out of a situation in the short term. Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com and the Odyssey app. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to Chiefs camp as quarterbacks and rookies head to St. Joe today. That means Patrick Mahomes is back at work. Today is Missouri Day, though. Tomorrow is KU Day. Thursday is K-State Day. We just heard from Luther Burden, the best wide receiver in college football. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Tom Hart. He is with ESPN, SEC Network. He is a Mizzou alum. He calls college football games. Tom, how you doing, my man?
Tom, fantastic. Thanks for having me on, man.
I'm doing great, Tom. You are a Missouri alum. Obviously, you were one of their crowning jewels of that journalism school. Let me ask you this. Let's start with this. Whenever people say that they're going to Columbia the first time, where do you tell them to eat?
Easy. I send them to Booch's first. I warn them, cash only, be prepared to chill. And then I say, you know, if you're going to dinner, then you want to go to Murray's. So Booch's/Murray's, that's where I send them. I think that gives you a good taste of the town.
See, that's really important to tell people that it's cash only, because you go in there and then you're not prepared for it. You have to give that caveat if that's where you're going to send people.
New generation especially, they don't seem to get embarrassed about anything, but when you tell them that they can't pay with a credit card, that puts people in some kind of mood, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. That's because we don't walk around with cash in our pocket the way you old guys did.
I know. But you don't have to walk around with cash in pocket. You just have to walk around with somebody who has cash in their pocket. It's like if you and your buddy getting chased by a bear, you don't have to be faster than the bear. Just be faster than your buddy, and you're fine.
That's great advice. Right now we're talking to Tom Hart of ESPN, also the SEC Network. Tom, you've been around this program for a long time. Can you think of a year that has had the buzz and anticipation quite like this one does? I think you can maybe argue 08, but I actually think this one is a little bit greater than what that year was.
I agree with you, and I agree because of I think the importance that college football has now, both nationally as the second most popular sport in our country, and regionally / locally. You know, I mean, while Missouri made it to number one in 07, and they were bringing a ton of talent back in 08, and there was a lot of excitement, and college football, even that bit ago, was still very much a regionalized sport. Now with all the changes in a 12-team playoff and what that could mean, I think this is – it feels to me, Carrington, like some of the great Missouri basketball seasons that we looked forward to when you knew that you had All-American players coming back or you're coming off of a big run and you start to daydream a little bit about what's possible and then you start going through the schedule and you go, hey, look, there's North Georgia on here. There's a chance to – rack up a ton of wins before you get into tough games and what that would mean. So I agree with you 100%. I think it's the most anticipated in recent memory. And in that case, probably ever. Like, I don't think there are a whole lot of people in the fall of 1960 going, hey, listen, we got a great team. If we can put a run together, you know, we could win the Orange Bowl and be national champs. People just didn't think and talk that way about it back then.
I look at it as it's three different components that I think lead to the excitement or hype or whatever term you want to use. Number one, it's the expansion of the playoff. I mean, before now, you had to win the SEC to think that you were going to compete for a national championship. Now that we've opened it up, there's probably 30 teams that think they have a chance to make the postseason. It's also the schedule. Like, if you just did a SEC schedule randomizer, I don't know if you come up with a better one than what Missouri has. And obviously, it's talent. You have a returning player in Brady Cook who turned the corner last year. You have arguably the best receiver in college football. You have one of the best wide receiver rooms. This is a team that you look at their floor as being 9 wins.
I agree 100%. I want to rewind a moment to what you said about the 12-team playoff and why that's so important. You can have great teams that run into roadblocks in this league year after year after year. For as great as the SEC has been at the top, how many SEC programs reached the college football playoff in its history, let alone winning a national championship, right? LSU, Alabama, Georgia. Am I missing one? That's it. Those are the only ones that made the previous 14 playoff. So all of these other great teams that had great momentum, think of Tennessee a couple of years ago before Hendon Hooker got hurt even, they always ran into a roadblock that was named Bama under Saban or Georgia with Kirby or LSU's great teams. Now those roadblocks don't matter. You could still lose that game and still find a spot in the 12-team playoff. So I think that's really important. And you know, Drink is up there today talking about, and I love the man and I love what he's brought to the program, but he's talking about last year doesn't matter. You know, what happened last year doesn't impact this year. I disagree with that because of the personnel that you just mentioned. They're not just great. They haven't just put up great numbers, but they know how to win close games. And I think that's really important in knowing how to win. And I think that, to me, the Kentucky game really jumps out at me. You're down 2 touchdowns. It's cold. It's rainy. You know, you're almost beat in the first quarter already. And thinking of, and Drink admitted this after the game. He's like, yeah, we were done. We're down 14-0, had no momentum. We were basically done. And then you pull off a fake punt. Boom. You grab a little bit of momentum. You score 20 in a row. And you still fell behind again late in the second half and had to come back to win that game a second time. And I think that is invaluable experience that a lot of these guys, even though there's new players on the roster, these key players have, and they've been through the ups and downs of the season and challenges. So while the numbers are impressive, and that's the reason the floor is so high and the D-line is supposedly going to be amazing and the offensive line is improved, and we know about the offensive weapons, obviously, to me, it's about what last year helped this program achieve and individually what these guys now know about winning tight games.
Tom, I never thought that I would see a Missouri wide receiver that was better than Jeremy Maclin, but I think they have one in Luther Burden. I mean, I saw Macklin. I was telling the story right before you hopped on the air. It was his one game on the road at K-State, and Macklin just was unstoppable that day. I mean, just watching Luther Burden last year, I mean, I don't know if you can maybe set the expectations too high for what he can do this season. He looks like a guy that could have 100 catches and have 1,500 yards receiving this year.
Well, let me share a quick story with you. So, offseason 2 years ago, I was headed to Columbia to call the Kansas basketball game, and Missouri was going through bowl practice, and I swung over and I was watching practice, and Dominic Lovett had already left the team to transfer to Georgia. And it was me and Drink standing on the sideline and called Burden over. And we just, the three of us just talked a little bit. And he, in front of me, he turns to Luther and he goes, you know, we're getting you the ball, right? I'm not talking about the bowl game. He goes, next year, we're getting you the ball in every way possible for you to show this guy and everybody else what you can do. And he was just, you know, nodding his head, yes, sir, yes, sir. And I thought part of that was recruit speak and coach speak, and then I saw how they used them early in the season, and I actually thought they were trying too hard to get him the ball in all of these different ways because there's so many different people on the field. It can be challenging if you're not versatile enough in that position. It can be challenging to force the ball into your hands at a wide receiver position, but he has proved to be versatile like Macklin, who was a killer in the return game as well, to get the ball in his hands in different ways where if you're facing an incredible secondary or great safeties, that you can find a way to use them on the jet sweeps. You can move them into the backfield. You can put them around in different spots. And I think that versatility will be key because I think the rest of the receiver corps is really good, don't get me wrong, and probably one of the best in the country. But they got to get him the ball in situations where he can impact the game. And they know how to do that. And Brady Cook knows how to do that.
Right now, we're talking to Tom Hart of ESPN and SEC Network for a couple of more minutes here on Mizzou Day. Tom, I look at it as I think you have to look at the Alabama game as a loss. I understand they lost their coach, but picking a team to go on the road and win in Alabama, just I can't get myself to take that next step. What's the next game after the game on the road against Alabama that you look at as maybe the most dangerous game on Missouri's schedule?
Well, there's a little personal bias in my first answer, and that's because I went to Bryan College Station when Missouri went down there and got smoked like 70-0. I took a Yellow Dog school bus with a bunch of buddies, and the good news is we didn't have to pay for a single beer all weekend. But that's a tough place to play, and it's a tough place to win. And they've got an elite quarterback as well. I think that game's winnable, but I'm always worried about going on the road. And then secondarily, we know the history with Oklahoma, and Oklahoma has been a dream crusher with previous Missouri teams, right? I mean, a Big 12 championship game away in Arrowhead from playing for a national championship, and Oklahoma wins that game after Missouri had beat them at home with the largest game day crowd in the history of that program. So I would put those two up there, and I certainly – understand your concern with going on the road to Tuscaloosa. I think Alabama, even though they've done a great job keeping the recruiting up, and Jalen Milroe is as dangerous a quarterback in the game, I just think that program's going to have a different feeling around it. You know, kind of like the old guys can relate to this. Like, once Mike Tyson lost his mouthpiece on the floor, things changed. You know, once Tiger Woods took that 9-iron to the back of his Lincoln Navigator, whatever it was, things changed. People, once they've shown that they're beatable and they lose that aura, I think it really impacts the ability to close out close games or to blow out close games in the second half. So I think that is as, obviously, without saving, that's as winnable a game as it's ever been.
That is Tom Hart joining us on the show today as we celebrate Mizzou. Tomorrow is KU Day, and Thursday is K-State Day. Tom, man, appreciate your time. Thanks for hopping on today.
Carrington, is it true KU's playing in a soccer stadium this coming season?
That is, well, not the whole time. Now, I hate that you try to put me in a position that I got to defend KU today. Yes, they are playing in a soccer stadium for game two. They are.
Okay. I wasn't sure about that. I haven't read through all my preseason magazines. I'll let my Kansas friends know about that.
I appreciate you, Tom. Thanks for hopping on today.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That's Tom Hart joining us on the show today. He trying to put me in a position, Rob, where today I got to defend the Jayhawks. I don't want to do that. They are playing in a soccer stadium for a couple of games. Then they go to Arrowhead. Those first two games, because you and I both know, Rob, I know you're excited about the KU college football season. If they were playing Lindenwood at Arrowhead, they'd have 30,000 people there. It would not look good. It would not be good for them. They made the right decision putting that one in Sporting Park. We'll actually talk to the athletic director of KU about that tomorrow. We plan on him joining the show. Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, I know you're talking about Missouri today. What do you think about the national anthem for yesterday? All right, I want to choose my words very carefully here because I understand the society that we're in, and we'll get back to Missouri coming up at the top of the hour. I did not know who this person was before yesterday. Maybe I should have. Maybe she is a very popular singer. I saw that. Is she a four-time winner or a four-time nominee? I don't. It's something.
Nominee.
Okay. Maybe you guys knew who this person was. I have never seen that person in my life. I never heard of that person in my life. They had a pretty big spot. Hey, you're being introduced to new fans, new audience, all of that kind of stuff. So I understand the nerves of going up there and you got to sing, and I get all of that. So I cannot judge this person one way or the other. But I will say this, and again, these are just my thoughts. Maybe you think something very, very different. If I sung as poorly as she did yesterday and I'm trying to get myself out of the fire, boy, did she pick a really good excuse or reason of why it went so poorly and the perfect PR strategy to get herself out of it. We're all grown, right? We know that there are certain buttons that you can press that can get yourself out of a certain situation. If you want to get out of work, you can get out of work. You maybe can't do this repeatedly, but if you want to get out of work today, man, I got food poisoning. That can get you out of work one time. You know, man, I got food poisoning. Man, I just don't feel good. Man, I got a migraine. You can use certain buzzwords or phrases to get yourself out of a situation in the short term. So that's my biggest take on this. I do not know this person. I do not know this woman. I do not know her battle and her journey. She might be 100% telling the truth that she has been dealing with stuff. Hey, she was nervous. She had a drink. She had maybe a couple drinks. She had to go up there and sing. This was your friends are telling you, man, you got a problem. You got to check yourself into rehab. All of that makes sense to me. But the cynical side is you have been getting cooked online for the last 12. Everybody is making fun of you. There was only really one thing you could do to get yourself out of it and to press the red button. And boy, was that thing pressed earlier today. So that is my big thought on the national anthem yesterday. So again, I'm not here to judge that woman. I don't even know the woman's name. She did not do anything yesterday to make me want to hear her music. She did nothing yesterday to make me want to, oh man, I like her voice. Nothing yesterday to make me click play on it. I saw the memes. I saw how much it had grown like wildfire and how many people were making fun of her. Then I saw her statement. I was like, oh yeah, maybe that's the cynic in me. I saw the button get pressed. Hey, I've been getting barbecued online. How do I make this stop? Rehab. That's how you make that stop. Now you can't even make fun of her anymore. You can't even get jokes off anymore. If you send a meme now, you're insensitive. Hey, look, you're not taking this seriously enough. She pressed the red button on this one.
I'm not saying you're wrong, and I'm trying to pick my comments carefully too. I'm not saying you're wrong, but what stinks for her, and maybe that's the wrong term, is that there are going to be cynics or people who believe what you just said, and to an extent, I believe it, because she was very bad during the national anthem, to the point where the camera flashed over to the Phillies player, Alec Bohm, who was chuckling. The internet was saying, Fergie's off the hook, Carl Lewis, no more jokes at his expense. What, we found a new worst one of all time. Like, it was as bad as it's been. And I hope for her sake that the cynic in you and the cynic in me and what social media said, hey, she's just making an excuse, is wrong, and that she is able to go to rehab, fight back her demons, and come back stronger on the other side. That's what I hope for her. But if she is, in fact, choosing the red button, which I'm not saying is or isn't what happened, then that is really lame by her to use a real problem societally for an excuse of why you did a terrible national anthem.
Are we going to act like that doesn't happen? I mean, you and I are from the era where you really only got to say two words, and that was the red button, mental health. That was the red button, was it not? That was 100% the red button. If you found yourself jammed up in 2018, all you had to do was say two words to get yourself out of that situation, and you were free. So, yeah, you do this. You got caught. You were bad. Your PR team, you meet together, the record label, there's a lot of people involved. How do we stop this fire? We say this, you go away for a little bit, you come back. It's now a redemption arc for this artist. Maybe I'm just being a complete cynic and I should just take people at face value, you know, face value. I was on the same internet that you guys were on this weekend, and I saw nothing but theories about something way more serious than this. I can't have a theory. I can't have a, hey, I don't know, something about this seemed a little off to me. That was my big takeaway from yesterday. It was a really cool home run derby, and you and I talked about it. I don't care if Bobby Witt Jr. won or lost the home run derby. It did not matter to me. I just simply want you to go out there and put on a show for a fans and represent the Kansas City Royals. And I thought he did that A-plus yesterday. He had 50 home runs. He put on a show. He showed his power. Yesterday was a win if you were Bobby Witt Jr., even if you did not win the event.
I saw people on social media being like, man, it really stinks that Bobby didn't win. I hope he does it again. Bobby was the winner last night. I know he doesn't get the little bat trophy in a Wikipedia. It's going to say Teoscar Hernandez actually won, but he was the winner. People today are talking about Bobby Witt at the Home Run Derby. They're not talking about the winner. They're talking about how close his what would have been tying home run came by hitting the wall. They're talking about the fact that he had the hat fall off and hit the homer. They're talking about how that guy put on a show bigger than anyone else last night, and that home run derby was not lacking in stars, and his star shined the brightest. Pete Alonso's done this a couple times. He's won it a couple times. I know he laid an egg. No one is talking about Pete Alonso today. They're talking about Bobby Witt. So he didn't win. But in reality, he was the winner because the Royals and his stardom ascended based on his performance.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Christian Williams. He plays defensive line for the University of Missouri. Also, Gabe DeArmond is going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour as well. Today is Mizzou Day on the show. So we're doing something a little bit different for the All-Star break. Tomorrow, we will talk about KU. Thursday, we will talk about K-State. If you are a fan of the local college, don't worry. We got you covered this week on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up at the top of the hour, Christian Williams on the show. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.